in addition, as I say, to the other things that have been said.
Understood. Richard?
Yeah, I agree with what Terry said, and I'll just add something. I've known Les Radke for 30-some years, and I will say this, and other people can poo-poo me for it, but he's politically more sophisticated than almost anybody in this organization. And if there's ways to create good dialogue and debate and stuff, he'll do it. And I really agree with the point about, you know, there are factions on a lot of boards, and we could end up spending hours of meeting time fighting over how we're going to do this stuff. And it would just, you know, people would be trying to set it up to benefit their people or whatever, you know. And I think it's much better to have a neutral person who's just trying to make the elections be as good as they can, who that's their goal. And I know Les is committed to that. Like I said before, he's really committed to transparency, and he's been involved with this election stuff for a long time. So I would vote no on this also. I think it's just another redundancy.
This is Ted. May I be on the stack?
Yes, after I've spoken, and anyone else who hasn't yet, if I may, Ted. I just wanted to say that when this was, Harrison, all right, when this was put on, we didn't have a supervisor, and I think things were quite different. So this motion has more legs in February, I think, than it does now. And while I see the rationale for it, I can see also that it will tie boards and people up in knots. And I have to say that Terry's point is well taken. Elected incumbents might do well not to be involved in exactly this sort of thing. That's why there is a supervisor. Okay, Harrison?
And I think that the bylaws incorporate Terry's point, and that it is up to the National Election Supervisor. And I think, fortunately, we have a supervisor who will listen to any recommendations that we may have. And I think that at some point we should form a working group and try to come up with some help for the supervisor in that area. And that's all I have to say.
Let's put that on the agenda for the next meeting.
Harrison?
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison's point
sounds
on the agenda for next time, right?
Yes, I think that sounds good. Working group on the agenda, which reminds me that we did not form, were we supposed to have formed another working group before?
Yeah, we did it. That's when you were off the call. That's what we did.
Oh, good. All right. Sorry.
We did it behind your back, Carolyn.
We did it behind your back.
You want to be on?
And thank you for leaving me off.
We wouldn't have put you on.
Oh, no, you were made the convener.
Oh,
yeah.
Indeed.
You're the convener.
Just kidding.
Yes. That'll teach me to leave the call.
Yeah.
All right. So are we ready to go for a vote on that?
One more
Ted.
Time.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Ted.
I thought I heard two different things. I thought I heard the majority of you say that the National Election Supervisor is the individual who will determine the format for these candidate forums, which is fine by me if that is the case. But I also heard that we don't want to have uniformity, that there ought to be the opportunity for unique approaches. And if that is the case, then it strikes me as it will not be the National Election Supervisor who will determine the format. So there's a disconnect there for me. I hope there is for the rest of you. And I would like somebody to clarify.
Can I speak to that?
Yeah, well, I could, since I...
Yes, Richard, may I?
Yeah,
Richard,
they're not logically inconsistent. The National Election Supervisor could evaluate the situations with the help of the local election supervisors and local election committees and say, like Mary said, in this case we have issues of this kind that are best addressed this way,
right,
and over at this station we have, you know, so he can make those differences. I mean, it's basically trying to deal with local conditions within the same principle of Pacifica and our elections, and I think that's, hopefully that will be done. And it may be that they'll all be the same, who knows, but, you know, they can set that up, and I have confidence that Les will try to work that out with our help. I think if we give him some suggestions, he'll gladly listen to them and adopt them if they're good ones.
Correct.
All right, Mary?
If I may speak one last sentence.
I agree with Richard. I think
in the national election.
Excuse me, Ted. I'm sorry. Mary was next on the stack.
Well, she was agreeing with me. Don't interrupt her when she does that.
Yes, really. He won't like that. I agree that there is no inconsistency there, and Richard outlined it precisely in the way that shows there's no inconsistency there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think we're ready to move to a vote on this.
I will withdraw it. There's no need.
Okay.
And, Mary, if you would take...
We have to check and see, because he can't withdraw once it's on there.
Yeah.
Does anybody object to it being withdrawn? You just have to ask.
Is there any... Oh, I was drawing the motion. I thought he was withdrawing his request to speak.
No.
All right. Are there any objections to withdrawing this motion? All right. Hearing none, then the motion is withdrawn. And thank you for making that go faster, Ted. The next motion is the 6F, as in Frank, now 5F, the transparency of meetings. Also from February 19th, I move that all national committee meetings be posted on the websites of each station as early as practical and in as transparent a way as possible. This is Ted Weisskopf's motion.
Point of information?
Yes, Terry.
Does Ted mean notice of all national committee meetings?
No.
It says all national committee meetings. I'm not sure. Let's ask Ted to clarify whether he meant the audio or the notice. Ted?
Yeah.
About both the announcement of when they will be held as well as the minutes of those meetings.
Announcements, the minutes, and did you also mean the audio or?
I'm open to that. I don't have a problem with it.
So announcements and minutes is what you meant by all national committee meetings. All right. Any other questions or discussion on this?
Terry? Yeah, I agree that notice of all national committee meetings should be on the individual station websites. And I recognize that minutes of the national committee meetings are not appearing on the Pacific Org website.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's where they belong. And so I would move to amend to strike the inclusion of the minutes on each website and just change it to be, I move the motion to be resolved that notice of all national committee meetings be posted on the websites of each station as early as practical and in as transparent a way as possible.
That's the notice of all national, all right? Richard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, again, what we're doing here is we're making a recommendation. We don't have the authority to make anybody do this. So we're basically, we should amend this that we're asking the PNB to order this because we can't, you know, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing that I would say, just if nobody minds adding this on, that there should be a link where the notices are to the place where the minutes are. So we facilitate people's education. If they want to go there, they don't have to go search for it again. They go to their own local website. They say, and the agenda minutes can be found over here. Click, and they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't, you know, if you got a decent website person, they can put that in 2 seconds. So
yeah,
I think we should ask that be done also.
That's exactly what pardon me, Madam Chair, may I speak?
Ted, yes, go ahead, please.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. I didn't say that it has to be. I'm not micromanaging this thing. I just want people to have access, and what Richard said is totally consistent with what I'm thinking.
This is Harrison. I'd like to add one little thing, too.
Yes, Harrison.
I think Terry's point that the minutes should be on the Pacifica.org website should be part of the motion if possible as well.
You mean the national minutes or the local minutes?
That the minutes of the national committee should be posted on the Pacifica.org site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should be.
All right, that's an amendment to the motion as it stands.
And if possible, could we include the other amendments that have been suggested as well? I think
all right, we have so many. Can we just rephrase a real motion instead of working with the original and start all over with a clean motion? Would someone like to phrase this motion? The Elections Committee
recommends
to the PNB that
all national committee meetings be posted on the local station websites with an appropriate link to the agendas and minutes for those committees.
Wait, we had the words notice of all committee meetings.
But notice and minutes?
No. Notice of all national committee meetings be posted on the websites of each station as early as possible
with a link
to agendas and minutes. Is that right, Richard?
Yeah.
Posted on the national website.
We have.
That notice of all national committee meetings be posted on the PNB website and notice of all local...
No. All national committee meetings be posted on the website
of each station. Of each station, all right.
Well, but
right.
Harrison...
National meaning board committees.
Yeah.
Not just PNB meetings, right.
No, all national committee meetings. That was the language.
Yeah, notice of
that
all.
That includes the board, that includes us, that we're all, you know...
All right.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
it's posted on the websites of each station.
As early as practical and in as transparent a way as possible with a link to the committee agendas and minutes.
Mm-hmm.
To the committee agenda.
Agendas and minutes.
Can we add on
the national website?
Well, yeah, we have Harrison's part next.
Harrison?
He said that
the minutes, just the last phrase can
that
be...
the minutes of national committee should be posted...
Oh, wait a minute, let Harrison phrase it. Harrison, please?
A link
please?
To the minutes and agenda posted on the Pacifica National website.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want that phrase? With a link to the committee agendas and minutes...
Yeah.
Posted on the national website.
No. With a link?
I think that's what I had in mind.
Is that what you want to have? Okay, that's not what I wrote the first time. Let me get it right. We have a link to the committee agendas and minutes, and now we have, a link. How does it go?
A link. Perry, do you want to clarify that? Or?
Yeah, the technical problem is that you can't have a link to the minutes on the notice because the minutes haven't appeared yet.
Right.
So I'm suggesting the following substitute: resolve that the Elections Committee recommends that the PNB direct that notice of all national committee meetings of all PNB and PNB committee meetings with agendas, if available, be posted on the websites of each station as early as practical, comma, that the minutes of those meetings be posted on the Pacifica.org website as they become available, comma, and that each station also provide a web page listing past PNB and PNB committee meetings with links to their agendas and minutes on the Pacifica.org site.
Mm. All right,
that's
comprehensive,
that,
yes.
You're going to send that?
Yep.
My hand is hurting.
All right, that sounds clear. Ted Harrison, does that satisfy your questions or your intents?
Harrison's happy.
Ted?
Oh, me too.
All right, it's quite comprehensive. Good. Do we need to hear it again before we vote?
Did you include agendas and minutes?
Sort of. I'll read it again. Resolve, the Elections Committee recommends that the PNB direct that notice of all PNB and PNB committee meetings, with agendas if available, be posted on the website of each station as early as practical, that the minutes of those meetings be posted on the Pacifica.org website as they become available, and that each station also provide a web page listing past PNB and PNB committee meetings with links to their agendas and minutes on the Pacifica.org site.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah, because the whole purpose is somebody can look on their local site
right.
and say, oh, here's a meeting, and they can
right.
go to that thing
right.
and click and get the minutes of the previous meeting if they want
right.
without searching for hours, which
right,
sometimes
right.
I've had to do.
All
and
right.
The
are there
website
any...
will probably have links to the audio.
Yeah.
Well, that will...
Are there any objections to that motion as it's expressed?
My only problem is, do we have 5 votes?
We have what?
Do we have 5 votes?
Yeah.
If there are no objections, we have more than 5, yes. Hearing no objections, then we'll accept the motion as read. Wonderful. Moving right along here. You see, Richard, how we listen to you?
Thank you.
Now,
you're cross, don't you?
Now, is 6G, which was 65G, was that dealt with while I was off the call? Is that that motion is definitely out of order, yes, as I read it. All
yeah.
right, so that is not required because we've already addressed that. So we come down to 6H, now 5H, the motion on member discipline from Terry Goodman from March 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And
you may read it without the background information.
Without the resolved.
No, I mean
without that whole background.
The whereases and the resolved, but not the background, because that
right.
was just for.
Yeah.
All right. I have 2 parts here. The first part, and then the Durienzo part. Well, resolved.
The Durienzo was only background.
That's background.
I'm not asking that we vote on that motion,
oh,
which was
background.
Sent to the governance committee.
Ah, I see.
So,
all right.
So the main thing
right,
is really
fine.
Quite short.
Right. Does the PNB, on the recommendation of its governance committee?
No.
Is that right?
Include the whereas.
Whereas Article 7, Section 2.
Oh, section. All right. Want to read the whole thing? All right, go ahead, Mary. Why don't you read that?
Okay. Whereas Article 7, Section 2 of the Foundation Bylaws states that, quote, each LSB shall consist of the 24 delegates elected by the members for that radio station, close quotes, thus ensuring that each elected delegate shall have a seat on the local board. And whereas various local station boards have suspended the LSB membership rights of delegates for extended periods of time as member discipline, thereby disenfranchising the constituency or constituencies represented by suspended delegates, resolved that the PNB, on the recommendation of its governance committee, shall A. establish as policy specific limits on the extent and duration of discipline applicable to LSB members, B. establish as policy when the fair hearing requirements of the rules of order shall be followed in matters of discipline in the context of proposed penalties, C. establish as policy specific guidance on when procedures for delegate removal under Article 4, Section 9 should be invoked in preference to LSB disciplinary procedures, and D. establish mechanisms to automatically refer and potentially rescind any LSB actions not considered with disciplinary policies established by the PNB.
Correction, that it's not...
It's within, isn't it?
Not consistent with disciplinary policies established by the PNB.
It's not considered... Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah. You said considered instead of consistent.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can motivate it.
I would like to... yes, go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, When the Elections Committee gives its report to the PNB that includes this motion, it would be satisfactory for that motion to be immediately referred to the Governance Committee, because it sets out what we would like the Governance Committee to do. Recommend specific policies regarding member discipline and regarding suspensions of LSB membership. And there have been instances in the past where members have been suspended for extended periods of time in the absence of clear PNB policy on the matter. And I think the bylaws, in my interpretation, makes it clear that the LSBs have been exceeding their authority in doing that. So this, the intent of this is to have it referred to the Governance Committee and force the Governance Committee to come up with policies regarding the issue.
I would like to speak to that. Does anyone else want to speak to this?
Good.
I have a point of information.
Richard, who else?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Point of information, yes.
Did the PNB refer this question to us, or did we take this up?
No, it was not referred. Terry developed this motion. Richard, do you want to go ahead, please?
Yeah, I'm just going to be very frank. I'm on the Governance Committee right now, and I hate to say it, but it's dominated by people from one of the stations that have overdone the discipline, so I don't know if this is going to do any good.
Thank you. That was going to be my point, too, that I would like to refer this directly to the PNB, which
right.
may or may not choose to send it to the Governance Committee, but I think otherwise several members of the Governance Committee would have to recuse themselves from consideration of this, I should think, in fairness.
They probably wouldn't.
Point of
would
order.
Like to speak.
Terry and then Ted.
Mm-hmm. As the point of order, the chair could consider her own comment and the comment of Richard Phelps as a recommendation to strike the words from the resolution proposed on the recommendation of its Governance
right.
Committee.
Thank you. So stricken. So stricken. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ted?
The item number D, those mechanisms already exist. The PNB can overturn a decision of the local station boards, and in the case of Di Rienzo, they visited this issue and chose not to.
Actually, what they did in L.A. is they sent it back to the Governance Committee because the motion to deal with it was too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
And where is it now, point of information, if I may ask?
Well, I don't know.
All right, well, I hope springs eternal here. any objections to striking on the recommendation of its Governance Committee?
I thought we already had agreed.
All right, that's fine. Any other discussion or amendments?
Yeah, one last point from Ted, and that is that I think that all of the things that are in here are already in existence, and I think this whole this whole motion is redundant and dilatory. I don't think we're just reinventing the wheel.
This is Harrison. I'd like to say a word.
Two points of order.
Harrison, and then Terry's
point of order first.
Right.
One of the points of order is that the chair needs to rule on the point of order just made by Mr. Weisskopf. The other point of order is that the chair could interpret his earlier objection as a motion to strike the words "establish mechanisms to" from item D of the resolution.
Point of order.
Thank you. Let me take the first point of order in the order in which it came.
Point of order. That's out of order. A point of order is you deal with the last one first, not in the order which they came.
Oh, thank you.
This point of order.
All right. On D, that is a suggestion, and I will. That's a point of order. Not sure how to deal with that. Should I ask the member if he wishes to strike D?
I'm sure. Please indulge me for 1 second.
Please.
I didn't make a point of order on D. I just debated it and said it was already in existence.
I'm taking that. You didn't make it, but Terry did, and he asked if, as a point of order, if I was going to take that as a recommendation, and you're telling me you are not. So the other point of order is that you're saying that it is the entire motion is dilatory, and I am overruling that. That is, I do not agree with that. I think there's certainly serious grounds to consider this resolution. Ted, you had another question? before Terry's points of order?
No.
No. All right. Are there any other comments or amendments, objections, discussion?
I think
this?
I'm next on the stack. This is Harrison.
Harrison, please.
My feeling is that this is outside the scope of the Elections Committee. I think it's questions of this sort are really governance. I know it's sort of hazy, but my feeling is that this is properly an issue for the Governance Committee. I somewhat sympathize with the idea that, well, the Governance Committee doesn't agree with us, so we should put our 2 cents in. But basically, I think that I'm not in favor of this motion because I think it's outside of our scope. And that, you know, committees are recommending bodies anyway. We've got other ways to make our feelings known, and the PNB is going to make their final decision. And I just think we should forget this.
Mary Berg here.
Mary, and I'll put myself on the stack after Mary if no one else is speaking.
I just want to weigh in agreement.
Please.
With Harrison's point. I don't see how it is within our scope, and it definitely is a governance issue.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems
I'd like to weigh in one more time, Ted.
Yes, I would like to disagree with the feeling that it's not within our purview. I do think one of the issues here is seriously about someone who has been whose constituents have been disenfranchised, and if we do not deal with that, I don't think governance will from the same point of view. So I strongly urge the committee to really keep this in its bailiwick. We should be concerned with whether or not members who have elected other members are then disenfranchised by the actions of either another committee or the entire board or the failure of the board to act, which is also the case here. That was my opinion on it.
Good. May I speak?
Well, yes, you've already spoken twice there, but go ahead. No one else wants to speak, so.
Okay, I want to get into the specifics of this thing, and I do think that I agree with you, Carolyn, that this should be within the purview of this committee. But I do think, and I'm old enough to remember, although I can't think of his name right now, the member of the U.S. House of Representatives from Harlem who was disbarred from his membership in the House of Representatives. Can somebody help me with his name?
Powell? Wasn't it Powell?
Powell? Adam Powell?
Adam Clayton Powell. Clayton Powell. Thank you very much. Okay.
Probably because I'm older than you.
That the weakness in this resolution is in A, where it says establish as policy specific limits on the extent and duration of discipline. I think that you have to look at each case on a case-by-case basis. It depends upon the behavior of the individual, their willingness to make amends, to apologize, and if they are unwilling to do so, Robert says that you can do anything from suspend to expel. And so I don't think we should reinvent the wheel on A. B says establish as policy when the fair hearing requirements of the rules of order shall be followed in matters of discipline. The Roberts in Chapter 20 has a very clear procedure established for a fair hearing. I don't think we have to create a policy for that. The hearing methodology is there. On C, establish as policy specific guidance on when procedures for delegate removal under Article 4, Section 9 should be invoked in preference to LSP disciplinary procedures. I think that also goes back to Robert's rules, and it goes back to the extent of the misbehavior. And D, establish mechanisms to automatically refer. That's already in existence. So I think that, as I said before, I think this whole thing is dilatory. Now, if Terry wanted to come back to this body with a policy rather than saying, okay,
now that we've said that you should do this, you have to go do the work. I think if he were to come forward with a policy or a mechanism relative to all four of these points, he would discover that Robert's Rules has it already pretty well nailed. Not pretty well. It has it nailed. And if the members of this committee are not familiar with the exact language in Chapter 20 of Roberts, they are remiss in voting on this matter without the knowledge of what is already in existence. I'm done.
I would ask the member not to characterize the member's knowledge, please, of the issues.
I did say that. I said if the member's knowledge is not there, then they would be remiss in voting. I did not say anyone was. Please do not mischaracterize my words.
This is Harrison. I'd like to speak.
Yeah, Richard, were you on the stack next?
Yes.
And then Harrison. Go ahead, please.
I'm going to take issue with the last speaker because I don't find Robert's Rules of Order adequate in justice or procedure. It was written by a military man. It was written for bourgeois society. Many of its precepts go against my sense of justice. They want everything, and you have any hearings like that, they want them all in executive session. And, you know, I believe in transparency. If somebody's up on charges, the people that elected them need to know what's going on. There's too much protection for the elite and Robert's Rules. And I could list a whole bunch of other things that are wrong with them, but the most important fundamental thing about Terry's motion that I agree with, where I disagree with Ted, is that we need to be, the PNV has to have a standard. Certainly, if somebody does something horrendous, they can vote to kick them off. We have procedures already laid out in the bylaws for, you know, kicking a member out. You have to have two-thirds to do that. What we've had happen is de facto kicking people out by the majority. And that's got to stop. That is, you know, I mean, if I was retired and didn't have a law practice that kept me busy, I would have sued this board about 10 times by now for a lot of things they've done. But, you know, the point is, that's just horrendous, what they've done in that situation, what WBAI has done. It's almost like Guantanamo. There's people down there that get no representation. I mean, it's like, okay, forget about it. Just leave them there. They don't get a hearing. They don't get anything. The national board has not done anything about what's happened to Paul. I don't agree necessarily with what Paul did or the way he did it, but there's nothing wrong with saying that a local board cannot suspend anybody for more than, you know, so much on a first offense. If they've got the votes to kick somebody out because they do something horrendous, then they can kick them out. But otherwise, you know, we can't have these de facto, you know, expulsions, which is what we have going on there. And that's just ridiculous. So I'm sorry, relying on Robert's Rules of Order, I mean, when we get into another bylaws convention, believe me, I'm going to be making motions to take a lot of Roberts out of our doing and change a whole lot of things and put in bylaws that will cover things that will make them more just, fair, and progressive, because Roberts doesn't do that.
Roberts,
in many ways, is a straitjacket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a straitjacket for the elite. It was written by the upper class for the upper class to keep the underclass ignorant. That's a good part of what it does.
Well,
I'm done.
Thank you. Harrison, were you on the stack or Mary? Mary,
I'm sorry,
I've lost track. Was Harrison next?
Harrison is next.
Yes, thank you.
I agree with a lot of what's being said here, even though people are apparently disagreeing. And so I think this is another one of those really deep issues. And the comment that I wanted to make is that the bylaws say that the bylaws take precedence over Robert's Rules where they both address the same issue. And so if what happened to Paul Di Rienzo is a de facto removal, then that requires the two-thirds or three-quarter vote that's in the bylaws. And so I think that there are very significant bylaws versus Robert's Rules issues going on here. There's the deep issue about, you know, how far people can go without being removed, you know, how far you can insult and disrupt a meeting without being removed. And these issues are a lot more than we can deal with when we've had a really good meeting so far, and we all know we get tired at this point.
So
So, but I don't know what I'm not making
good
any
point.
So that's my comment.
Okay, I do want to Terry. Thank you. I will speak if I may. The point here that Ted made, that Robert's Rules has rules to address these things. That was exactly the point. That in fact the board did not follow the rules. The board decided by a simple majority to do what it should have taken two-thirds to do, and they did something that was illegal. And I think that they were able to get away with it because there was no good oversight. So I think this motion would force the national board to address rogue boards, effectively, which is what we had in this case, acting outside of the rules. And I agree with Ted, the rules are there. It's just getting somebody to follow them that seems to be the problem. Okay.
Carolyn,
Terry?
May I speak, please?
Well, Terry is next.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I wanted to address three items brought up regarding this being within the purview of the Elections Committee. In the whereas, it mentions that the actions of local boards may disenfranchise the constituency represented by suspended delegates, and I think that's what puts this motion within the purview of this committee. On the issue of bylaws versus rules, I agree with the points made, and resolving that inconsistency is a matter of bylaws interpretation for the PNB to decide when the actions of an LSB are an effective removal of a delegate in violation of the bylaws, and that's why policy is needed. With respect to the suggestion that I come up with specific guidelines regarding all of this, I would if I was a member of the National Governance Committee, but I'm not, and I believe doing so would be beyond the purview of this committee, and that's why the motion is limited as it is.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take him. Is there any more discussion on this? We've all had a round twice and some
I'll
three or four times. Very brief, Ted, I hope. Thank you.
I agree very much with Richard with regard to the idea that meetings are closed, and I think we could introduce a resolution here and get it passed here and get it to go to the national board or recommend to the governance committee that they recommend that any such hearings be held open. I absolutely agree with him on that. The point he made about this thing being written by a military man, well, it was, but it's been modified many times, including in the year 2000, and by now it's not really in the hands of a military man.
All right. Thank you for that information. Are we ready to vote on this as it stands? Hearing no objection. Mary, would you like to call the roll?
Okay, I'm going to begin at the bottom this time.
All right.
Okay. LaVarne, she left the call, that's right. Okay,
yeah.
Ted.
No.
Okay, Harrison.
No.
Deb?
Pass.
Okay. Richard?
Yes.
Melinda is gone. Patty?
Pass.
Terry?
Yes.
Carolyn?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to vote no. Okay, I'm going back to the past. I see Deb.
Yes.
Okay. And we have Patty.
Yes.
Okay, so we have five. Yes, so you see there is a quorum. And three no's. Okay,
so
it passes.
Very good.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Please.
In the midst of all of that, there was the discussion of open meetings for this purpose, and yet I don't see anything in this document. Is it inappropriate to introduce a motion that all disciplinary hearings will be held publicly?
Well, it's too late to amend that motion, but we certainly could put it under new business And that section is empty. If we ever get to it, it would be first, I believe. So if you'd like to hold that for new business, that would be fine.
Which I think is probably next.
It does seem to be, doesn't it? Are we exhausted? I can't believe it.
Hey.
It's a first. We not only approved minutes up to date, we finished unfinished business. No, it's a miracle.
Well,
all right,
I've got another idea, but I'm not going to say a thing about it.
Anyway. Don't even think about it.
I won't think about it.
Without objection,
Carolyn.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Who is? Can we have one at a time, Ted? And then did I hear Richard?
I move.
No.
This is Ted. I move that disciplinary hearing, that it be required that all disciplinary hearings be held in public.
Point of order.
Yes, Terry.
The motion is beyond the purview of this committee.
Mm-hmm.
Implies that then that we recommend to the governance committee that they recommend to the national board that all hearings be held in public.
I have to agree with Terry's point of order that it really is beyond our purview to talk about disciplinary hearings in general. Richard?
I believe that the same phrase that Terry used to bring...
I'm sorry, who is this, please?
This is Harrison.
I'm sorry, were you next on the stack?
I think I'm speaking to the point of order, or I don't know how that's done.
Well, I thought there was a stack, and...
Okay. All right,
you're right, we're dealing with a point of order. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It seems to me that we can motivate the scope of Ted's motion, exactly the same way that we motivated the scope of the last motion that we passed by saying that, I forget exactly what Terry's wording was, but basically that if you discipline somebody, you're disenfranchising somebody, and so that is within our purview in the same way.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else on the stack here?
Mary Berg. Yeah, not necessarily, because we don't know what the kind of discipline might be, and we can't assume that it would disenfranchise anyone not knowing what the particular discipline is. So I think that Terry's point of order is well taken. I think it would be a real stretch to try to justify having that in the elections committee. I mean, it could be done, but it would be a very Jesuitical kind of a path.
May I suggest, perhaps not tonight, but that Ted might want to come back with a motion that reflected the issue that Harrison raised, that if disciplinary proceedings that affect disenfranchisement be considered or reconsidered.
Point of order.
Richard?
Yeah.
Yes.
I just want to refer people, you know, in the bylaws, we have a section that talks about meetings are supposed to be open unless they're dealing with litigation or proprietary matters or personnel matters. An LSB person's discipline is none of those. And we just need to follow that. You know, it's very clear. It's Article 6, Section 7. And we need to get the PNB to follow that and the local station boards to follow that. You know, Houston didn't follow that when they fooled around with Ken Freeland. And we've got this kind of, like you said earlier, I'll use your words, this kind of rogue, you know, boards. And we don't have we almost have a states' rights kind of situation. The national board is not enforcing these things, you know, and people, you know, we're having a lack of due process. And it really bothers me.
Point of information.
Terry?
Is there a member on the call who is a member of the governance committee?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a question?
If the question before this committee would be mooted if the governance committee member on this committee told us that he or she was going to bring forward such a resolution to the governance committee.
Which part? The part about getting the
disciplinary hearings, open disciplinary hearings.
You know, like I said, I don't think we need to make a motion. I think it's there in the bylaws. It's right? It's as clear as a bell to me if you read Article 6, Section 7, titled Open Meetings.
This is Harrison. Can I just say one problem with that is that it says predominantly concerning?
Right. But a discipline of an LSB member doesn't have anything to do with personnel, proprietary, or litigation.
Right, but I mean, the way to get around that is to deal with...
I'm muted. Point of information here. Richard, do you think there... Excuse me? No.
You're not muted.
No, you're not muted.
I've been asking to be on the stack several times.
Who is this, please?
Deb, stack.
Deb, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you at all.
I haven't heard her either.
Okay, I'll put you on the stack, certainly. Go right ahead.
And Terry on stack, I guess.
All right, and then I had a point of information after Deb. I'm sorry, Deb, go ahead, please.
I am both on the BIS committee and on the governance committee, and I am on the LSB of the KPFC. And I want to tell you that we had legal advice that told us that we could be opening the foundation to legal suits if discussions about people and their actions, which becomes a personnel issue, were discussed in open meetings. We could be liable for what was said.
That's just absolutely horrible legal advice.
Let's take this one at a time. My point of information to you, Richard, was is there any chance that the governance committee could be persuaded to address Article 6, Section 7 on this or in general?
I doubt it.
And I will bring it up.
But we can try.
Uh-huh. All right. Terry, Richard, excuse me. Terry was next, and then I'll let you answer, Deb, if that's all right. Go ahead, Terry.
Robert's Rules, page 630, beginning line 25. Consequently, a trial must always be held in executive session, and the introduction and consideration of all resolutions leading up to the trial also should take place when non-members are not present.
All right, Richard.
I'd like to speak. Well, first of all, Terry, as you know, our bylaws supersede Robert's Rules of Order. But I want to go back to the thing with Deb, because you're confusing the fact that you're dealing with the LSB members' discipline. That doesn't make it a personnel matter. Personnel matters have to do with employees. That's what personnel means, employees. When you're dealing with firing somebody, those things have to be done in executive session. But what we're talking about here is politics, damn it. And when you have politics done in executive session, you have star chambers, okay? You have exactly what the U.S. government does all the time. They meet and they make these decisions and they never tell the people about what they're doing. And that is absolutely dead wrong for Pacifica or any progressive organization. If you're going to discipline somebody because they did something bad at a meeting, everybody needs to know what was said, who did what, and what the positions of the people voting or not voting to discipline the person. This is what democracy is about, having this stuff out in the open. There's no chance that anybody's going to get sued over that. That's ridiculous. But that's the paranoia people push so that all these things get kept secret, so the people that donate the money and the activists that come to meetings never know what's going on. And that's why I get so angry with the PNB when they, oh, we got to go to executive session on this.
Hello?
Hello? Did we lose Richard?
Like dropped off. So, point of order.
point of order, yes, Terry.
Okay. The discussion has underscored that it's a matter of bylaws interpretation that could supersede the rule of order on this matter. And a member has stated that they will bring the issue to the governance committee. And
mm-hmm.
the
Two
chair
members.
Has ruled the initial original motion out of order. So discussion is out of order unless a substitute motion is offered.
Thank you for the clarification. I did, since we're, before we rule it out of order, the question of a trial had to do with a different thing than an open meeting for infractions that were committed in the open By the way, the trial had to do with other matters, just to clarify the use of that term. All right, Terry, thank you for that. If there are no further motions, yes, yeah, Mary?
Well, I don't... Terry's saying any discussion is out of order, but we've been having a discussion, and Deb's point was spoken to by Richard, and what Deb said is that they got opinions from legal counsel. That was a lawyer. Richard's a lawyer. They disagree. So I think, therefore, there is no God-given or dog-given truth about these legal matters, whether one could be sued. So I would think to be erring on the side of caution, and I would agree with Deb about it.
A point, though, I don't know. I'm not sure that the same matter was the subject of the legal opinions in question. There may have been a personnel versus public issue. Personnel, you know, as Richard pointed out, is not the same as a disciplinary issue. And I think that Terry is correct that since both Deb and Richard said they would at least consider bringing this before the Governance Council, we probably have nothing else to discuss here.
Carolyn?
Yes.
Carolyn, this is Ted. I just want to say that related to the statement, error on the siding of caution, you can be sued for not holding a meeting in public, or you can be sued for holding a meeting in public. So damned if you do, damned if you don't, and... I'm not sure that erroring on the side of caution gets you off the hook on this one.
Point well taken.
Sued for anything. So.
Mm-hmm. I would love to entertain a motion to adjourn if there's no further business.
I want to make that motion since I've made all these others and not gotten a single one passed tonight.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jeff. It's all yours. Is there any objection to Ted's motion to adjourn?
I just want to get my final comment in, which is we should err on the side of transparency if we're going to err anywhere.
Hey. You're out of
order. Right. Air is pretty transparent, so I think that's pretty much a given.
People, thank you for a very good meeting, and I can't tell you how pleased I am and how much work we got done tonight. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Likewise. Thank
anybody
you.
Anybody else? And that lawyer's opinion was a lawyer who was involved in that thing, and it was the lawyer that threw them out of the building. So.
No, it was Richard. You lawyers, you're always adding.
Talk about the last word. I will see you all in a month.
Also, a lot of error.
Richard.
That's right.